chapter 3. Thank you for those sound effects. That wasn't Kirk either. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Depart from evil. Now, go back to Romans 7, verse 21, that we've looked at for the past few weeks. Romans 7, 21 says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, these are Christians that he's writing to, God's people, and he said that evil is present with us. Evil is present with me. There's only three positions that you can be in spiritually. Unsaved, never having been born again through repentance and faith. Or secondly, saved but living in the realm of the flesh, which means to be voluntarily under the control of our fallen sin nature and mind. And with everything revolving around self. Or thirdly, being saved, but yet living in the realm of the Spirit, under the control of the indwelling Holy Spirit and our new nature, where everything is revolving around Christ. So those are the only three spiritual positions that you can be in. Now, I hope that you're agreed at the very beginning that it's not the Lord's will for you to be unsaved. Neither is it the Lord's will for you to be saved and still under the influence of your flesh, still living a carnal life, still living outwardly as you did before you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's not what the Lord has saved us to be and to live. Now, the question is, how do I get from this control of the Spirit into the control of the flesh? How can I move from those two positions? Well, it involves spiritual warfare. Now, we've seen what spiritual warfare is outwardly as it relates to the devil and to the world, the lost world, who oppose us as we carry out the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. But this is a spiritual inward war. Look again at Romans 7. He said, verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Do you see the warfare there? That's an inward, inside of us, warfare that's going on. Now, how do we successfully wage this warfare is what will take up our time for, well, only the Lord knows. But until we get it, however long that is, how do we engage in this warfare that will move us from the realm of the flesh into the realm of the Spirit, where God wants us to be in, where we are effective in the hand of God, where fruit, spiritual fruit is produced. People's lives that we come in contact with are influenced spiritually. How do we get to that position to where the Holy Spirit is in control? If it was easy, we'd probably already be there. But I think you'll also agree that there's not much teaching on this subject, and the teaching that is kind of confusing. And you have about three major camps of people who believe how you should do this and what is involved in it. And then you got one camp that says you don't have to do anything. Now, look at chapter 8 of Romans, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, not just conquerors. More than that, above that, through Him that loved us. That's the position we're to be in. Not the position of chapter 7, verse 21, but the position of chapter 8, verse 37. Look at verse 5, same chapter, verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the flesh, that's all they think about, is the world. Things that are going on in the world. How it affects me. How I can get something from it. What I've got to do tomorrow. Worry about what I did yesterday. Plan out what I'm going to do 10 years from now. What I want to do, what I want to have, and in the absolute contentment and peace and happiness it's going to bring me when I get what I want and when I have what I want to have. The pride of life will then kick in, and I can sit back with my 401k interest coming in. And I can sit back with ease and eat, drink, and be merry. That's what the world says is what makes you smart. And that's what the Bible says makes you a fool. They that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Just take a short inventory. What do you think about most of the time? When the noise level is down enough to where you can even think. Is it about the things of God? Or is it about your things? For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded, to be under the control of the flesh, is like living in a cemetery. Spiritually. There's no spiritual life around you and in you. The spiritual life that's in you is snuffed out over into the corner. Where the Holy Spirit has been quenched to. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You see, what you're trying to figure out and understand of the things of God and of the Word of God is through your fallen carnal mind. That's why you stay so confused. That's why the choices you make are wrong. Because you're making them based on what you know in your mind. It's enmity against God. It's polar opposite with God. The way the world thinks is the exact opposite from the way God thinks. It's enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can baptize the flesh. You can confirm the flesh. The flesh can join the church. The flesh can take communion. The flesh can hold positions in the church. The flesh can teach. The flesh can do things for God. The flesh can do good things for the community. And it's all just one huge waste of time. Solomon calls it vanity. It comes to nothing. A work of the flesh produces a result in the flesh. And nothing spiritually takes place. So that's why no one is spiritually affected by how we live our lives. If we live them according to the flesh. But now, what's the statement in verse 9? But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. All right, so very, very plain as to our position, as to our eternal state. If we're saved, we are eternally in the Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit, eternally so. If we're lost, we are in the realm of the flesh, under the control and under the bondage and slavery of the flesh and of sin and of evil and of the devil. So, if I'm over here, how can I be over here? I can't. But over here, I can act like I'm over there. You see, once I'm over here, I cannot ever go back over there. Who would want to? There is, verse 1 says, now no condemnation. None. For all of eternity. We are eternally in Jesus Christ because He saved us. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And the characteristic of someone who is in Christ Jesus, verse 1 says, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That's how we should be living, is after the Spirit. That we are eternally in a state of. But my present standing before God might not be that good. In my present standing, I can be living like I was lost. All of the filth that used to come out of my mouth that made me look so macho and so cool, actually just displayed my total ignorance. Cussing is a public announcement of ignorance. Take that, football coach. Boot sergeant. I can do that over here, just like I did over there. I can act just like I was lost, and people maybe even mistake me being lost. Has it ever come a shock to somebody you work with or know, and they find out you go to church? Or is that a very well-kept secret? We're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. If whatever it is you're calling yourself a Christian from, if whatever it is you're calling salvation, did not result in the Holy Spirit indwelling you, that's not biblical salvation. There's a lot of people over here who's saying they're Christians. and they've never been born again. And their lifestyle shows it. And what's in their heart reveals it. But they've deluded themselves into thinking that because I did this or this or this was done to me, I'm a Christian. The only thing that makes you a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, is to be born again spiritually by the Spirit of God when you come to the cross in repentance and belief and in trust and in faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. That's what makes you a Christian. You don't make yourself a Christian. So if you're a Christian, that means the Spirit of God dwells in you, and there's something going on in you as a result of that. Because when you're in this position of living in the flesh, somebody inside's not happy. And it's kind of like when you come home sometimes and mama's not happy. Nobody's happy. Till things get right with mom. And all the boys and girls said, amen. When we're not doing what we're supposed to do, it's not just conscience that bothers us. It's the Holy Spirit convicting us that what we're doing is wrong because you're dragging Him along with Him. Now, if Christ be in you, if you have in fact been born again, the body's dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So see, when you voluntarily go back under the control of the Holy, from the control of the Holy Spirit to the control of the flesh, you're bringing life back to this body of sin that was dead. And you are shutting off the life of the Holy Spirit coming into your human spirit. So you've reversed verse 10. So even though we're in a whole new position from being lost to being saved, we don't have to live like it. And that's what's happening. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. So how did we get here then to where we're living after the flesh? We volunteered. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So you're either going to put sin to death and the deeds of sin, or you're going to put your spirit to death and the deeds of your spirit by the Holy Spirit. When you sin, you kill righteousness in you. When you do righteousness, you kill sin that's in you. Don't ever, ever make the mistake of thinking that God does not regard sin in His children. He does. He doesn't regard it like He did when He was our judge. And we were under His condemnation of His law. No, we're brought from that state into the state of being His son and His daughter. Now, instead of a judge, He's our Father. Because our Father loved us, did He let us get by with misbehaving if He was doing what He was supposed to do? Neither does your Heavenly Father. And He loves you even more. Well, I used to tell Dad, I said, Dad, I wish you wouldn't love me so much. God loves you so much, He will not allow you to play in the street. See, and we reverse what and living what we should be living. We put to death the deeds and the actions of the spirit instead of the deeds and actions of the flesh. Let me have two volunteers, Donovan and Jeff. Thank you all so much. Chris, I learned how to do that in the service. All right. Grab hold of my arm, and of course you're going to be flesh because you've got that going, you know.
And I'm chewing gum in church.
That's right. And I had to wake you up to get you up here.
Yes,
all right. And see how he's clean shaven and everything. He's all ready for school and stuff, you know. Hope you learn something. All right. Here's what's happening. The Spirit's pulling me this way. The flesh is pulling me this way. Now, here's what happens. Oh, yeah. That's Romans 7. Ever been there? As long as I just kind of go with the flow, whichever way it's going, that's the way I go. But what am I supposed to be doing? See? And Brother Gary, hop up there by the wall there. All right? Now, the Holy Spirit now will lead my spirit. Go that way, Brother Gary. Now see what the flesh has to do? Now, he don't look happy, does he? All right? That's where the Lord wants us. The flesh is dead. It just comes along with me. Unless I turn around and give Him life, then I don't see my spirit. I don't see the Holy Spirit. See? See? And I go, no, this is okay. I'm under grace. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Those of you listening on the audio, just try to picture this. Sorry. That's where we are. Right? So I hope that helped a little bit. Now let's go back to our text in Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. Now, those are instructions to God's people. He's telling us to do something. Is this the action of God, or is it my action? All right? Am I not to be wise in my own eyes? Am I not to think of myself more highly than I should think, Romans says? I'm to fear the Lord and depart from evil. I'm supposed to do that. Nobody's going to do it for me. God's not going to do it for me. Do you remember in James 4, verse 7, when we were talking about spiritual warfare against the devil? Submit to God and resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. Resist. Remember Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Is that God's action or is that our action? We do that. We become strong in the Lord and in His power. When we're that, then His action takes control. We put on the whole armor of God. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't put it on us. We're big boys and girls now. We can dress ourselves. Remember 1 John 5 verse 4? In our warfare against the world? For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is our victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. What overcomes? Does the Lord overcome the world for us? No. He gives us the strength to overcome it by faith in His Word. Now the same is true in our opposition and our warfare against the flesh. Stop floating downstream. Stand up, because it's only about knee deep. And walk against the current, walk against the tide. Start your day with prayer and reading your Bible as daily bread, not as emergency rations after a storm has taken place. He said, Proverbs 3, go back to verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Mercy and truth go together. Not mercy by itself. God's mercy is based on His Word. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. Well, I got to figure this out. This problem is just so... I've got to work out a solution to this. I need to call. I need to text. I need to get on Facebook. I need to get everybody involved in this problem that I've got that I have to find a solution for. All right, now, I want you to give me your advice and... Because I'm going to end up doing what I want to do anyway. But I want you to give me the advice, because if it doesn't work out, I can blame you. And I won't take responsibility for my poor choice. And if it works out, then it was because of me. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And as Brother Gary said and done and demonstrated, He'll direct our paths. Now, if we don't do that, somebody else is going to direct our paths. And even though you're saved, even though you're a child of God, even though you're an heir of heaven, you're going to find yourself, if you don't submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you're going to find yourself accomplishing the will of the devil himself against the work of God that you've turned your back on. Chapter 13, verse 9. Ah, 19. No wonder it didn't look right. Proverbs 13, verse 19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Go to church, be saved, do what's right. I don't want to do that. And I don't want God in my life. I'd have to stop doing what I'm doing. Hence, your consequences of what you're living in. Chapter 14, verse 16. A wise man feareth and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. Chapter 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 19. He just got through talking about false doctrine that was being spread in verse 17 by Hymenaeus and Philetus about the resurrection. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Plain enough. But in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Sanctified. Do you see that word in verse 21? That's the word, and that's the biblical truth that's describing what I'm talking about this morning. So we've got to make sure we understand what sanctify means. It's vital. It's essential. Or you're going to be confused. There's teaching that says you can come up here to the altar, kneel, and ask God to sanctify you just like you ask Him to save you. And now you're perfectly sanctified. You can never sin. And just like the false doctrine that Paul is referring Timothy to, that's false doctrine. And it's all through the Baptist church. Oh, you're saved, so you're under grace. Everything's fine. God doesn't see your sin. God doesn't recognize your sin. You can just sin and sin and sin. The other ditch is that you're still under the law. You have to obey the law. Well, if you're still under the law, you're still under condemnation. So you've got two camps in both extremes, and they both of them pass by the Bible to get there. And it creates difficulties and problems in churches. It has in this church. Not just in the last few years, but historically. So if it would cause problems in a little church in Burton, you can imagine what it's done to Christianity. What happens to a person after they're saved? There's enough confusion about that. Oh, you don't have to do this saving thing. That's a Baptist thing. No, it's a Bible thing. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That's a Jesus thing in John 3. So there's confusion there, but if you can get through the confusion to the simplicity of the Scripture and to where you can be saved, okay, now you go into this other area of confusion. What am I supposed to do now that I'm saved? All right, here's heaven over here. We're not there yet. So what am I supposed to do between this point and that point? Does God even really, does it really matter to God? Does He just sort of kind of sit back here in heaven and say, looks up from His business every now and then and says, "Whoo, I'm rooting for you, I hope you make it." Does that sound like a loving Heavenly Father? Does that even sound like a loving, saved Father? No. Do you see why this is so important? Because it's going to affect how God uses you to affect other people. No man is an island. No man lives unto himself. It doesn't matter how I live. What about your children? Does it matter to them how you live? What about your coworkers? Does it matter to them how you do your job? If you don't do your job, they got to do twice as much. Does it matter to lost people? What if you're the person God has put in their life for salvation? Does it matter? If you says yes, how I live my life matters. You got to get this. What does God expect from me? What is He going to hold me accountable for now that I'm saved and I belong to Him during this time before I get to heaven? Now you got to get this, because it's going to affect how you stand before Jesus Christ to receive rewards or to suffer the loss of them. And that is a very big thing. Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be in heaven. Yeah, it'd be at least 1,000 years from now before that happens. The kingdom of God, in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," that kingdom comes for 1,000 years. And based on what we've done here is where we're placed in that 1,000 years. Then comes the new heaven, the new earth, the new city. Then the tears are wiped away. Then. It matters. It matters. It matters. Heavenly Father, thank You this morning that we have Your Word to clear up the confusion that the fallen carnal mind has produced into Your Christianity. To clear the confusion that the devil, disguised as an angel of light, has sown in among Your people. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Open our hearts to this teaching, Lord. Lord, I want to be the Christian You saved me to be. I don't want to be ashamed when I have to stand before You one day. Lord, I not only want to do what You've saved me to do, I want to be what You've saved me to be. Lord, You're holy and You're righteous. And You said for us to worship You in the beauty of holiness. Lord, help us to concern ourselves with that holiness, with Your righteousness. Lord, help us to learn how to resist the pull and the temptation of the flesh, to be entangled with the world and the involvements that are in the world that choke out our time to commune and fellowship with you, that choke out and interfere with our time to come on Sunday and worship you publicly and be and learn and be discipled from your word. And disentangle ourselves, Lord, so that we can live under the control of the Holy Spirit as you saved us to live, that we might affect our families, our communities, our churches, by the way that we live and conduct ourselves in a Christ-likeness. Lord, we're allowing our flesh to destroy our lives and our bodies to where we're an unfit vessel for you to use. Lord, don't let that happen. Wake us up this morning with the importance of living for you and serving you, not out of servitude, but out of joy. Because that's the source of our peace and contentment and joy. Not the things of the world that we're chasing. Lord, I pray for our church that we would grow spiritually to where we can produce spiritual fruit. Lord, that can only happen if we resist the flesh and we submit to the Spirit. Lord, put us back in your word. As we wake up in the morning, Lord, anoint us with new and fresh oil. Lord, may we immediately begin to talk to you and to pray and read your word and prepare for the day. Then as we go out, Lord, may we go out prepared to meet the opposition that we're going to meet and to be prepared to follow your leading and to say what you want us to say and not say what you don't want us to say, to do what you want us to do and not do what you don't want us to do. And Lord, we pray that you would control that instead of us. So Lord, would you speak to every heart here, those that are lost, that's never been born again. Spirit of God, would you reveal that truth to them this morning? And may they open their heart and receive you as Lord and Savior in a conscious decision and choice to have you in their life instead of sin. Lord, I pray for your children that they would recognize the position spiritually that they're in before you, and then make a conscious choice to not remain in it. I ask you to do this, Lord, in our hearts this morning, in Jesus' name and under the authority of that name.